Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace. From God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I apologize for my voice this morning. I can't even say I was out cheering for a baseball team because that's all over. Today's texts are commonly read in this season before Advent. Sometimes preachers call them the dog days of Pentecost, because they speak of end things. You see, the early church, in the time when the Gospels and the letters were written, the early church thought that Jesus was coming back really soon. And they were starting to panic a little bit. They had heard that some of them wouldn't die until Jesus had returned. And so they were waiting. And they were waiting. And they were getting a little more anxious. And so we have in our gospel text, the beginning of this text says, when some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, the gospel writer Luke was writing from a time period when the temple was already destroyed. This is a really important piece of church history to wrap our heads around. Because I think most of us, when we read the Bible, we think that it's being written kind of in real time. That, you know, somebody was just following Jesus around and writing down everything he said. And there might have been some memory like that. Because when Jesus ministered and lived and walked on this earth, there still was a temple. But in 70 AD, it was destroyed. Now picture people being just on the other side of the crucifixion, remembering the story of the resurrection. Some of the disciples were still there at Pentecost, still there at Easter, had seen the risen Christ, but they were starting to die off, and now they're at the second generation, coming into the third generation of their memories of Jesus and his promises. And the temple was gone. So Luke tells this story. And it's a little disconcerting. Certainly there's much in the Bible that doesn't qualify as a children's story. Luke, in Jesus' voice, says this temple, not one stone will be left upon another. But Luke isn't saying this to frighten the disciples. Luke is saying this to focus the early Christian community. And even Luke didn't have any idea how many kingdoms would rise and fall while we're still waiting for Jesus. The key here, he says, when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. You know what happens every time an angel shows up, pretty much, in the Bible? Angel says, do not be terrified. Possibly because they don't show up like the little cherubs that, you know, you see painted in Hallmark kind of stuff. That angels were terrifying in themselves, but angels usually came at terrifying times. And they always came and they said, do not be terrified. And further, Luke says, from Jesus' voice, all of these things, when you see about wars and earthquakes and famines and, you know, insurrections, and you name all the terrible things that could happen, and he's naming them from the second century AD. When you see these things happen, this will give you opportunity to testify. Have you thought about that? This has been a wild week. And we knew it last week it would be. Half of you are probably happy about our presidential choice. Half of you are probably not. But here is where Luke and the gospel call us back to focus. Whether your candidate won or lost, we are still church. What happens next in America's chapter does not disembody the church of Jesus Christ. We are children of God with a purpose. And our purpose is to point to Jesus. Because the world needs Jesus. Our community needs Jesus. Who is grateful there are no more campaign commercials on? Let's have an amen. Now we can stop thinking about what earthly ruler is going to save us and redirect our attention to Jesus, the Messiah, who is the only source of our salvation, the only source of true joy, the only source of true peace, the only source of everlasting life and love. Do not be terrified. Jesus says it. This is an opportunity to testify. Circle that in your bulletins. This is an opportunity to testify. And so this afternoon, remember which of your neighbors had a yard sign that you disagreed with. Bake him some cookies. Talk about something that you can do for the community together. This morning, when we share the peace, find somebody that you think probably voted the way that you didn't. Look them in the eye and say, the peace of Christ be with you always. Elections come around every 2 years. They come around every year, really. But we are God's people today and forever. So what does that call us to do? Same thing it's always called us to do. Love God. Serve neighbor. Love neighbor, serve God. Because God is eternal, God is forever. And so we will continue to sing hymns together. By the way, I'm going to say this because I say it every once in a while just to remind you. God gave you your voice. Even if you don't like your voice or it's a little hoarse, a little scratchy, a little off key, use it to sing God's praises. We had a funeral here Friday. It was Rhonda Sturgeon's mom. And I was thinking how important it was that we sing hymns at funerals. And I don't know if you've ever been in that position when you just don't feel like singing because your heart is broken. That happens to me at funerals quite a bit. And then I remember somebody needs me to be singing because they can't right now. That is the work of the church. To sing faith into each other because somebody's losing courage, somebody's losing faith, and so we sing it for each other. I remember one Easter Sunday, I was a very young preacher, and it was Easter, the Saturday night before Easter, and I was tossing and turning and couldn't sleep, but did sleep, but it was a troublesome sleep. And I remember hearing it like a voice, and it was a dream. But the voice said, "You don't really believe all that stuff, do you? Come on, rolling away stones and rising from the dead and all that." And, you know, I shook myself out of that dream, and I said, "But yes, I do, but I was shaken that I would even have that doubt." And then I got to church, and we had sunrise service at that church. So, you know, I'm stumbling around the church at 6 in the morning. And I come out, and my voice is a little hoarse because it's that early. And I announce to the congregation, "Christ is risen." And the congregation shouts back at me, "He's risen indeed, hallelujah." And then we started singing, "Jesus Christ is risen this day." And the congregation literally sang the faith back into me. That is what we do for each other. So we will continue to share the peace, to sing the faith, to pray together, to feed the hungry, to make quilts for the cold, and to do all those things that church does. Because we are children of God. And we are called, named and claimed by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.